This is a message to shepherds wherever you are. The words of Yahshua Messiah, Matthew 10, verses 5 through 8. These 12 Yahshua sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way," that is the manner, "of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather," in other words, go farther away, "to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of Yahweh is at hand.'" We know who the 12 are, and here is clear evidence that Yahshua came to restore Israel, because he's sending his 12 disciples out to the house of Israel, the 10 tribes that were scattered by Syria when they defied him by creating golden calves and worshiping idols. And when the first wave of the Syrian invasion occurred, they said, "The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will replace them with cedars." These are the same words after the first invasion into our land, the United States, by Syrian forces made by Tom Daschle in the House of Representatives or the Senate. He quoted Isaiah 9:10. "The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will replace them with cedars." As the house of Israel defied Yahweh, so did we as a nation. And it is my heartfelt hope that we can come to see and perceive and hear and understand and do the will of Yahweh so that he might heal our land. The words of the prophet, Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. "In those days," speaking of now, "and in that time," this is an idiomatic phrase introducing a prophecy, "in those days and in that time," says Yahweh, "the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. With continual weeping they shall come and seek Yahweh their Elohim. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, 'Come, and let us join ourselves to Yahweh in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten.'" This references the perpetual covenant that was forgotten. It says that the house of Israel, who are we? We are the scattered house of Israel to the nations. And the tribe, and the house of Judah, will come together someday in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. And Jeremiah 50, verse 6, Yahweh says, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds," he's explaining why they've become lost sheep, "the shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountain." And mountains are an idiomatic expression for religions of the nations. "They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill, and they have forgotten their resting place." Well, to you shepherds, I say greetings. My name is John Fisher, and I'm giving this presentation to you shepherds of those lost sheep to whom you have been commissioned to tend. Many of you, without doubt, have been called to be such a shepherd by the Creator, His Son, and through your own seeking, asking, and knocking on the door of truth. You've opened up the Bible and you've read. You have been promised by our Heavenly Father through His Son, that if you do ask, seek, and knock, you shall be given the answers, you shall find the truth, and the gate to the kingdom shall be opened unto you. And my question for you is this. Can you handle the truth? Can you hear the answers to your questions? And have you dared to walk through the door to knowledge, understanding, and wisdom? Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Knowledge about what? About how to put a man on the moon? No, knowledge about Scripture. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your Elohim, I also will forget your children. These words are eternal and apply not only to ancient Israel, but to the Israel that Messiah Yahshua came to restore. The eternal Israel, the Israel that is the inheritance of Yahweh. His inheritance is comprised of kings and priests in his kingdom, as described in Revelation 5, 9, and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to Yahweh by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue, every language and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our Elohim, and we shall reign on the earth." This is a prophecy that goes back to Hosea, who said he will not allow those who disobey him to be priests in his kingdom. Messiah will rule in his thousand-year reign with a rod of iron. By what law, by what prophets, and by what writings do you think he will rule by? Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12. Ask, and it, the answer, will be given to you. Seek, and you will find the truth. Knock, and it, what is it? The narrow gate leading to the kingdom of Yahweh. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want to do, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Notice that last phrase. It has come to be known as the golden rule. Yet invariably, people leave out the most important part. This is the law and the prophets. This is the whole truth about asking, seeking, and knocking. The door to truth is the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. You may have been taught that Israel is lost. And this may be true for mankind, but not for Yahweh. He knows those who are of Israel, who worship Yahweh according to his will. But you may also have been taught that Israel has been stripped of its title, the chosen ones, and that the church is now the so-called spiritual Israel. But I say to you, notice that there are two nations being prophesied about in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verses 4 through 6. In those days, in that time, says Yahweh, the children of Israel this is the house of Israel, shall come, they and the children of the house of Judah together. With continual weeping they shall come and seek Yahweh their Elohim. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come and let us join ourselves to Yahweh in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. The house of Israel and the house of Judah. Who are they today? The house of Judah is comprised of those who claim to be Jews. They have preserved the written word of Yahweh, found in the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. The house of Israel, on the other hand, is comprised of those who were of the 10 tribes scattered to the world by Assyria, who assimilated into the predominant religion of the world, claiming to be Christians, following the Messiah of Israel, the living, breathing word of Yahweh. Two nations claiming to have the word of Yahweh, both of whom refused to call upon the name of our Heavenly Father, Almighty Yahweh, because of tradition. I have prepared my message today specifically for you shepherds of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And to my Christian brothers who are asking, seeking, and knocking. In my associations with many people over time, I have become aware that extremely few people have actually studied the Bible or even care to. And even those who profess to have done so seem to me to have gaping holes in their understanding of what the Word teaches. I am myself still an imperfect man with gaping holes in my understanding as well. I am 64 years old, and until I turned 51 years old, I believed that the man standing behind the pulpit has been to college, has been taught the true meanings of the Bible, and if I were to read it, I would probably misinterpret it. That, my friends, is what I believed, and that was a lie that I repeated to myself, which I now see as an errant rationale that I used to avoid reading the scripture. I know that now. Until Yahweh called me out of Egypt and Babylon, the world of false religion, I did not care to know the truth. But in December of 1999, my wife and I were happily involved with a non-denominational church called the Vineyard Fellowship in the San Joaquin Valley of Central California. We were both on the worship team and had many joyful and humbling experiences while there. My connection to the Father and to His Son was through my emotional responses to the Vineyard music created by professional writers and musicians. I was frankly obsessed with their music. Their music was my spiritual foundation. And I was so caught up in music as a spiritual foundation that I had forgotten those times when I had been called to Him as He gently persuaded me of His existence and of His loving kindness. And as He often reminded me of His presence through His effective chastisement or discipline, there were times when I knew without doubt that He loved me and made His presence known through spiritual and scriptural interventions in my life. I am humbled by His grace, His mercy, and His discipline. And I have received the substance and evidence of the hope to be received back into His inheritance. I must say that None of these interventions by him truly turned my life around. I couldn't hear. But it did not turn me around with the intensity of my experience in December 1999. For in that experience, like King Saul, and I don't like comparing myself to him in light of how he ended up. However, I too was turned into another man, as found in 1 Samuel 10, verse 6. And I was given another heart, as described in verse 9 of that chapter. Although I was not aware at the time, the words by which I described that experience that day, I discovered in Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Jeremiah 31, 33, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. The Holy Spirit, Yahweh, wrote three words on my heart and changed me into a new being and gave me a new heart. That's how I described it that very same day. And what were these three words? Honor my Sabbath. I had absolutely no resistance to these words. There were no fireworks, no volcanic eruptions, and no trumpets blasting when this happened. I did not leap for joy, but held it inside, praising him. I was just changed, and I knew it. After I came to realize what had just happened, I set my mind to do only three things from every Friday sundown to Saturday sundown: to read scripture, to pray, and to sing praises to him. When I got home from church that afternoon, I opened my Bible at random. I had no idea where to turn. And my eyes fell upon Romans 3, verse 4, which reads, in the New King James, let God be true and every man a liar. God, of course, was referring to Yahweh. Let Yahweh be true and every man a liar. My immediate understanding was that I must set aside all that I had been taught by the mouth of man, and that I must read the Bible for what it says. And when I did that, reading the scripture for truly the first time, I was astonished. My eyes were opened to what it said. Nevertheless, I was rebuked by my pastor, by my family, and by my friends and work companions for declaring the truth directly out of Scripture. I might also say that my wife was a little confused by what was going on for me, but eventually, as I began showing her what I was reading in Scripture, she acknowledged the truth about who Yahweh is, about who Yahshua is, and what Yahshua came to do. I later found the scriptural verse describing my calling in Isaiah 58, verses 12 through 14. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach. What breach are those who are being called the repairer of? It's the breach of the contract that we've made with Yahweh and his law. We've broken his law. That's the breach. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. This verse is a prophecy of the Messiah, the first fruits, the first of all mankind, risen from the grave. The next verses are written to those who follow him as a kind of first fruits, as described in James 1, verse 18. Back to Isaiah 53, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from, that is, if you stop kicking or defiling the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and instead call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not doing your own teachings, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of Yahweh has spoken. These are amazing words, and these are not just for ancient Israel. They are for the Israel of today, those who desire to follow Yahshua and honor his father according to his will. Now, I'm not here to debate the issue of Sabbath versus Sunday worship. I'm not here to prove anything to you. That's not my work. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is Yahweh's work. Only he, Yahweh, has the power to put his law into our minds and our hearts. I am here to share with you what I have studied and learned in the past 12 years, reading the scripture for what it says. Because he called me out, I believe that he has granted to me a greater and deeper understanding of the parable of the prodigal son and the hidden reconciliation promised in that parable. Prodigal, the word prodigal in English comes from the Greek word sozo, meaning unhealed, unsaved, and a ne'er-do-well. Here is that story, which begins in Luke 15, verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them. And in those days, the elder son is the one who would receive twice as much as the younger. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. He was a ne'er-do-well. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, and how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. Just hear those words. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the said son to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The story goes on. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came and who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." These parables that Yahshua tells us are amazing. But let's allow him to tell you why they are so amazing. In chapter 13, verse 10. "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand.' And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn.'" And that word "turn" there is a much used phrase in Scripture. It's the same word as repent, which means to turn back to Yahweh, to go back to the beginning, so that I should heal them. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see," in other words, they perceive the truth, "and your ears, for they hear, they understand and do." Verse 17, "For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, to perceive what you now understand, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." No doubt there are today many righteous men who desire to see and hear the teachings of the word of Yahweh, the written Torah, and the living, breathing word of Yahweh, his son, Yahshua. The parable of the prodigal son is a great story with great personal meaning, most often taught as a lesson about unconditional love between a parent and a child. However, this story is about a father with two sons, and there exists within this story a more poignant message, a message not simply to enhance our personal connection to our Heavenly Father for what he has done, which is amazing. It's not to enhance our personal connection to our Heavenly Father, as the prodigal son learned of his earthly father's undying love, but a message of two ancient nations that exist to this very day. We will come back to this deeper message directly. But you have an I'm speaking to you shepherds still. You have an absolute right to believe from a perspective other than ours. We are not the holders of the truth. Only Yahweh and Yahshua have that authority. We believe that the Bible is true, all of it. The Messiah came to restore scriptural truth to his people, to all Israel, that is, to all those who believe in Yahweh and walk in his ways, as exemplified in his son, Yahshua, who spoke and acted only in obedience to his father. For the theocratic leaders of his time created their own laws, doctrines, policies, rules, procedures, and liturgy. He condemned them, calling them serpents and a brood of vipers, the picture of which is a creature that spews venom from its mouth that results in death. And what is this venom? In Mark 7, beginning at verse 8, "For laying aside the commandment of Yahweh, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well, you reject the commandment of Yahweh, that you may keep your traditions." This venom is made up of the traditions that cause us to reject the law leading to life, the law given to Moses to teach Yahweh's people how to live their lives in a way to receive the blessings promised by doing so. Rejecting this law, considering it to be dead and no longer relevant, is exactly why the Messiah Yahshua told the Pharisees after they declared to him that they were not born of fornication, that Yahweh was their father. John 8:42, he responds to them. Yahshua said to them, "If Yahweh were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from Yahweh, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." He had great condemnation for those who made up their own laws, whose laws covered up and made the law of Yahweh of no significance. In 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 12, we read, "Yes, and all who desire to live holy in Messiah Yahshua will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that..." Now listen, "from childhood you have known the holy scriptures." What holy scriptures is Paul talking about here? "You have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise" for what? For just doing the law? No, for salvation, through faith, which is in Messiah Yahshua. Verse 16, All scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What holy scriptures is Paul speaking of here? The answer should be obvious. Since the books of the New Testament were either evangelical historical documents, sermons, letters to individuals, synagogues, or assemblies, or, as in the case of John's revelation of Yahshua Messiah, a prophecy. However, at the time of these writings, they were not yet incorporated into canonical scrolls, nor even perceived as Holy Scripture. Paul is describing the law of Yahweh as that which teaches us and leads us to. It's the tutor, if you recall, that prepares us to receive Yahshua. And I have to ask you, have you been tutored by the law of Yahweh? Have you been trained? Do you understand the Torah, the writings, and the prophets? If not, how? As Yahshua said, if you do not know Moses, referring to the law, how can you understand me? The law is the foundation of Yahweh, of Yahshua's teachings. It is the foundation for our salvation. It is not the only thing. By doing the law of Yahweh does not save us. It brings us to Yahshua to understand what he's talking about. So we can believe, and so that we will be redeemed when he returns. When I say, open your eyes to the truth and perceive and understand. John 17, verse 7. Sanctify them by your truth. And what is truth? Yahshua says, your word is truth. Yahshua here is praying to his Father and Elohim, the Almighty Yahweh, affirming his deep abiding love for and his willingness to obey every word of Yahweh, spoken and caused to be written the word, the law, the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, and later, the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament, when it comes to be written. The New Testament testifies of the truth of the Old Testament. It testifies of the writings, it testifies that the writings of old are true and everlasting. It testifies, if you can hear it, that there are no dispensational eras in which the word of Yahweh is now dead, having been nailed to the tree. Matthew 4, verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, speaking of Yahshua, he said, if you are the Son of Yahweh, command that these stones become bread. This was after 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. But he answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. We shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. In John 12:23, but Yahshua answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's speaking of his death. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. That's the idea of the seed being buried. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servants will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And so I say to you, let us follow Yahshua as he fulfilled, as he validated the will of Yahweh. For he honored his father by keeping his father's holy convocations. He kept Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, the waif sheaf offering, the feast of weeks, referred to as the day of Pentecost, the day of trumpets, the day of atonement, the feast of tabernacles, and the last great day. He honored these. He was there. He was also sent. He was also seen at the Feast of Dedication, found in John 10, beginning at verse 22. Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. And that word for dedication in Hebrew is Hanukkah. So Hanukkah is in the New Testament, but not Christmas and not Easter. And Yahshua walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Yahshua answered them, "I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You remember those who did not follow Yahshua, but some other imagination. And you remember what he tells them when they knock on the door to the kingdom. He says, "Depart, I do not know you." And he did not know them because they did not follow him. And Yahshua says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Shepherds, why did Yahshua attend the holy convocations of Yahweh? Because they're all about him. He has fulfilled the first three of his Father's holy convocations, which you can read in Leviticus 23, and will return and fulfill the last four. All has not been fulfilled. That is, all has not been ended. The Torah of Yahweh has not been put away. They are alive. And well, living within the living Torah. And who is the living Torah? Yahshua came to fulfill his Father's commandments and the holy convocations, and he has yet to complete them. Do you have ears to understand? Do you have eyes to perceive? Do you have the will to obey Yahweh and walk in the footsteps of Yahshua? Will you come out of Babylon and worship Yahweh, believing that Yahshua was his son, sent to find you and bring you back into the fold? I pray that you do. Hallelujah.